Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of John in chapter 4. John in chapter 4. On Sunday evenings, we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. The teachings of Christ. And, well, that's something that we need to receive and apply to our lives is all that Jesus Christ, as God, came to teach humanity. The last message that we studied was right before this, and especially in chronological order, is Jesus led the woman of Samaria. He must needs go by Samaria, and he led her to see herself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and then he presented himself as that Savior. And can I tell you, that's something that very important for all of us to realize. You can't get saved unless you see yourself as needing a Savior. And as you understand you need a Savior, it's because of you're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. And yet the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when you get saved, you don't stop being a sinner. That's not what happens. You get a new nature. And you have the ability now, through the new nature, to overcome the sin nature and to start living as God would have you to live. Hopefully, sinning less and less all the time. But we are sinners. The difference, there's only two types of people in the world, lost sinners and saved sinners. And that's Jesus wanted this woman of Samaria to realize that as well, that she needed to receive him as her Savior, being a sinner. Well, the next is found here in John chapter 4, in verse 46 down to 53 is what we're going to be studying here tonight. And Jesus, after this confrontation with a Samaritan woman, now he addresses a nobleman concerning this nobleman's need. And so go ahead and stand with us tonight. We'll read the Word of God together, then we'll receive what God has from it. As I read, you follow right along with me. John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we again bow before you, thank you that you have preserved your word for us, that we might read it and study it and hear it preached, and then be able to believe it and receive it and apply it. I pray tonight, God, that we would receive the truths from your word and be looking at how you would have us to apply it. Bless now in the preaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A nobleman. Now, the definition of that would be, especially at this particular time, an officer of the king. This would be an officer of Herod's. He had a son. This officer, Roman officer, had a son who was about to die. The Bible says two things about this boy, that he was sick and he was at the point of death. So he was sick. He had some type of sickness. That's why he was getting ready to die. This nobleman realized that he had done everything that he could do. He would have had means. He would have had access to the best medications of the day, the best physicians. And yet that was not going to heal his son. His son was at the point of death. In verse 46 and verse 47, the Bible says that he would have heard about Jesus when it says, "Canaan." So Jesus came unto Canaan of Galilee where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So this ruler would have been aware of what Jesus had been doing while he was walking in his public ministry. One of the very first miracles is he turned the water into wine. He would have heard about a man that was able to do that. He would have heard about some other things. This is still at the very end of the first year of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still in that chronological time frame in between this first year and going into the second year. But he would have heard of many of the things that this man Jesus had been doing in that first year of his ministry. And he would, as he heard of Jesus now coming closer to him, time was running out on his boy. He was a man of need. No position could heal his son. No amount of money could do what he believed that Jesus could do. So the nobleman, when he heard that Jesus had come into the area, he believed that Jesus was the answer. Now, understanding, this nobleman could have rejected what he had heard. He could have rejected and just put Jesus on the very same level of some others, so-called false prophets. He could have put him on that fanatic list. God had worked in this man's life to get him to the place where he was in need of God. And the thing that came to mind was that Jesus, this man who had turned water into wine, was close enough for him to go talk to. He could have rejected what he heard. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that we witness to that rejects. They reject the fact that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. They reject the fact that he is born of a virgin. They reject the fact that he is the Savior of mankind. They reject the fact that they are lost and on their way to a devil's hell. They reject the crucifixion, and more than any of it, the resurrection. Even though there's so many truths that we spoke on this morning they could look to, and to realize that no, everything points to Jesus being the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, God who was walking on planet Earth in human flesh. But they reject it. The Bible says, and you know the verse as well, but over in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, that many will reject him. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They believe not because their minds have been blinded, and they've been blinded by a spiritual force, a spiritual presence of the devil. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And they didn't have this spiritual blinders, that they didn't have these other thoughts coming into their hearts and minds. They didn't listen to the wrong voices. They would believe, and they would receive. But the Bible says that many are blinded. He goes on to say, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ. Not trying to elevate humanity, not trying to elevate any type of religion per se. We are trying to preach Christ and allow people to understand what they need to associate themselves with that is associated with Christ. We're not focused on blind faith. We're focused on faith in what God has given to us. He gave to us His only begotten Son. He gave to us the perfect life that He lived. He gave to us the perfect word that we are to follow after. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what we've looked to. If you're saved here tonight, then you understand these things, and you've seen Jesus as the Savior. You've seen Him as the one that could forgive and cleanse you of your sins. You've looked to Him to be the one who can dwell within you and seal you until the day of redemption. Take us to heaven when we die. For that's the sinner's prayer. Yeah. But he could have rejected what he had heard, but he didn't. He didn't. He heard that this Jesus was close enough. This Jesus had turned water into wine. He had done other things. The Spirit of God was revealing to him the truth about who Jesus is, because he was seeking after the help of God. And God is a rewarder to all of those who diligently seek Him. You have the devil out there trying to blind people, but we also have the Holy Spirit of God trying to take the blinders off and to convict an individual to see himself as he needs to see himself to be saved. And to look to Jesus for who Jesus is. That's taking place even today. It was taking place in this nobleman's life. So we find that, first of all, the nobleman would hear of Jesus. He would not reject that, but he would look to Jesus as the one that he was going to go to, because he believed that if Jesus was the Messiah, if he was who he said he was, he could heal, and he would heal his son. Time was running out. Verse 47, this man would then take advantage of opportunities to talk to Jesus. He went to where he was at. He sought him. And then as he sought after him, he actually came to Jesus. And the Bible says he went unto him and besought him. He first of all sought him, and then he besought him. Yeah. He besought him to heal his son. He had enough faith to walk 20 miles, about the distance for where he was at to where Jesus was. And he had enough faith to publicly ask Jesus to heal his son. Heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He took advantage of opportunities that God had brought into his life. What does that mean? Well, he was close enough that he had opportunity to get to him before his son would die. He had opportunity to go and see for himself who this Jesus was. He had opportunity, no doubt it was a conviction of the Spirit of God to get him to go to meet Jesus and to go to make his request known unto him, to besought him. And he took advantage because he had the opportunity. He had heard at the right time. He was being led by the Spirit of God at the right opportunity. Before his son would die. After his son died, he would not have been able to go to him to bring him back, to bring his son back to life. He would not have thought anyway that he would have been able to do that. He had to go while he had the door of opportunity open to him. Can I tell you that God works in our lives to bring us opportunities to get to know him, to increase our faith, to be able to spiritual oppression, and to find the joy of the Lord. But we have to take advantage of the opportunities when they're made available. There's such a thing that's called a steward of opportunities provided by God. You know, we are to be stewards of God's. But opportunities are part of stewardship. The Bible says, to call unto me and I will answer thee. When you have opportunity to call unto God, why aren't we calling unto God? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And yet, we have opportunities 24/7 and somehow we get talked out of doing the basics. Just bowing your head before an almighty God, acknowledging your belief in him, reverence him, and then ask. Whatever it might be that you need to ask, you just need to ask. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Sometimes we want to put it all on our time schedule. When it's convenient, then I'll seek the Lord. When it's convenient, I'll do this. When it's convenient, and that's not how God works. If God opens up an opportunity, we need to take advantage and be good stewards of the opportunities that God opens up to us. Can I tell you that every Sunday we have an opportunity to assemble ourselves together? Every Sunday we have the commandment as well as the opportunity. Now, not everyone has that opportunity, I understand, because some are sick and they can't come. Whatever reasons, there are certain reasons that prohibit us from having opportunities available, but when the opportunities are there, that's when we need to be good stewards of those. Amen. Amen. We have opportunity to read our Bibles. We have opportunity to seek counsel. We have opportunities here and there, certain things going on. But are we taking advantage of the opportunities and are we being good stewards of what God is trying to do in our lives? God loves us. He's proven that. God wants to help us. God wants to be there for us. And yet, God works his ways according to his purposes. Shame on us to expect God to do something for us when we're not taking advantage of opportunities provided. When I'm counseling and trying to help people, I'm willing to do whatever I can do to help people deal with situations and problems and difficulties. That's my heart. That's part of having the pastor's heart. I want to help people. I don't want to babysit people, but I want to help people. If somebody's looking for a babysitter to tell you what you want to hear, that's not me. When somebody's seeking after the Lord and they call for counsel, I am all for doing anything and everything I can do for those who are diligently seeking after God, and God has led them to seek counsel, and they're taking advantage of that opportunity. But I can't do it for them. Counsel in and of itself has never helped anybody, but biblical counsel applied helps everybody. And one of the things that I try to encourage everyone that I counsel with to do, take advantage of what you already have, the opportunities to hear from God. Get in church, be in church, read your Bible, pray, seek the Lord. If you're not doing that, then don't expect God to heal your marriage. If you're not doing that, don't expect God to heal that relationship with your teenager. If you're not doing that, don't expect for God to bring healing into your life. Don't expect anything of God if you're not taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given to you. But once He opens up opportunities, take advantage of them. Because in those, you'll find the help of God. As did this nobleman. In verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now he's asking, and he is presenting to this nobleman a truth that we somewhat touched on this morning. Jesus' message was, are you looking for a sign to believe in me? Is that why you're here? You want to see a sign and then believe? And yet, as we even said this morning, that's not how God works. God does not. He will not be tempted. He will not surrender to temptation from anybody. He does not tempt. Nor will he be tempted. In the book of Luke in chapter 11, look over there with me. Everybody follow me this evening? Amen. Amen. And so in Luke in chapter 11, in verse 29, Jesus addressed some people and he says, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They weren't seeking after him for the right reasons. This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. So also the Son of Man be to this generation. 3 days and three nights defeating the devil, resurrecting from the grave. If you will, the gospel. God does not give a sign for people to believe. God wants you to believe, and then he'll show you more signs. I love that. Man wants to see and believe, and God says, no, believe and you'll see. You have enough already that I've done for you. All you have to do is look to the crucifixion, look to the burial, look to the resurrection, look to the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and that ought to be enough for anybody to have enough faith to believe. Luke in chapter 16. Luke in chapter 16, verse 30. The rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus said, if only somebody would resurrect from the grave, come back from the grave and talk to my brothers, they would believe. Verse 30, the Bible says, and he said, Jesus said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, this is God through Abraham speaking to this man. But Jesus is telling this parable, this story of this rich man in hell. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If they won't believe the scriptures, Moses and the prophets, they will not believe, even though there was a resurrection from the dead. And that's so true today. The holidays that we're going through right now is the birth of Christ. The next we look forward to would be what we call Easter, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You put those together, and that's Christ coming, going to the cross, dying for the sins of humanity, but after 3 days, resurrecting from the grave. That's been on our Christian calendar for how many years? How many centuries? And yet people still won't believe. They say there's not enough signs. Wow. God says, believe. You got enough. Once you believe, you'll continue to see things that will increase your faith. Go back to me, John chapter 4. We're almost done here. John chapter 4, verse 49. After Jesus said that, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Can you believe and then see signs? Basically is what Jesus is saying to him. We know that because we know the rest of the story here. But the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. I love that because this man did believe that only Jesus could heal his son. And he was right. If he would not have had the faith to believe, his son would have died. He came to Jesus and had this need, and he believed him to be able to meet the need, and then he had to believe who he was. And so he said, I'm not looking for a sign. I just know that you're the only one that can heal my son. If you don't come down with me, my son is going to die. Do you know that's where the place we need to get to in order to be saved? Outside of I receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to die and go to a devil's hell. It's only Jesus that can save my soul. If you think there's any other way than through the blood of Christ, then you're lost. There's only one way. And you have to go through that one way. And it's not when you choose to be saved, it's when you have the opportunity to be saved, when you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, who's pointing you to Christ as Savior. Yeah. The man believed that only Jesus could heal his son. And then verse 50, and Jesus saith unto him, go thy way. Not seeing any signs, but I'm test son liveth. And the Bible says, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Quite different than how he came. He came fearful for his son was going to die. He's leaving now believing that his son is healed and is going to live without seeing a sign, but just believing the words of Christ. He placed his faith in God's word And his faith in God's word allowed him to believe what Jesus had said to him. If God says it, and we meet the conditions, we can have it. You got to know that God said it. And then you got to know that you meet the conditions. If I tell my wife I'm going to buy her a diamond ring, if I tell her I'm going to buy her, she can claim it. Because she says, if you're going to be a man of your word, and you told me in front of the whole church you're going to buy me a diamond ring, you're going to buy me a diamond ring. But me telling my wife I'm going to buy her a diamond ring does not give my daughter Crystal the right to come and receive that diamond ring. Well, you promised Mom you're going to buy her a diamond ring. I didn't promise you I'm going to buy you a diamond ring. Talk to Rusty. She can claim it because I made the promise to her, but Crystal can't claim a promise that I made to my wife for her to receive. So you have to know that you meet the condition. If you know that God said it and you know that you meet the condition, you can have it. Salvation for whosoever. All of us meet that condition. You can have it. Because it's the word of God that promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall forgiveness. If we will confess and forsake our sin, if we will just confess and forsake, from Proverbs to the 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's after salvation. When we commit sin, we can confess our sin. In Proverbs, it says we need to confess and forsake. That forsaking says, I don't ever want to do it again. It's in my heart not to want to ever do that again. I'm not asking you to forgive me for something I wanted to hang on to. But if we confess our sin, that confession is, I'm guilty. I don't want to have it anymore. I'm not going to go back to that sin. But Lord God, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I have sinned even as a saved individual. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. He'll cleanse you as a lost person, make you a saved person. He'll cleanse you as a saved sinner and make you a saved sinner sinning less. But you can have that if you confess it. Not point it on somebody else. Well, I did it because I was raised this way. I did it because of my childhood. I did it because of that person. They forced me to do it. I did it because, no, that's saying that somebody else caused it and you're not admitting your own guilt. Confession is saying I'm guilty. You can have forgiveness. And then the promises. All things work together for good. I can claim that, can you? Do you love God? Are you the called according to his purpose? That's who that was promised to. He would work all things together for good to those. Amen. So if God said it and we meet the conditions, we can have it. God said, this nobleman, that your son is healed. He just had to believe it. And as he believed it, he left believing his son was healed. He left with peace concerning God's working in his son's life. He left with joy concerning God working in his son's life. He left with assurance of God working in his son's life. Not knowing just how he would do it, but knowing he would. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. Now, I love it because after you believe, and not looking for a sign. Can I tell you that God gives us a lot of signs? Confirmation that it was God who did it. When you pray, oh, devil would love to make you think it's just a coincidence that it worked out the way you prayed. And yet God wants to give you signs to let you know it was Him working in your life. So many times in my life, I've seen God give me confirmation of Him answering my prayer and working in my life. And so we find here, that's what happens. He gets confirmation. As he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." What a coincidence. How did he know that it was Christ, his belief in Jesus, and it was Jesus who did it? So the father knew, or in verse 52, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." They had no idea that was the very same time that he believed Christ's words. But he knew it. Can I tell you, that's God working in our lives, giving us confirmation of certain things. God just, his spirit bearing witness with our spirit. It's real. Yeah. If you're looking for it. If you're looking for what all that God has for you. Yeah. The evidence of God answering his prayer. You know what this led to? When you're confident in your belief in God, it leads to our witnessing to others. Amen. And when you're able to witness to others and share a testimony that you have with Christ, people get saved. And in closing this out, the Bible tells us, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed. That same hour he believed. And then the Bible says, and his whole house. Amen. Talk about rejoicing and telling everybody that would listen what Christ had done for him. And others will get saved. What a blessing to see the teachings of Christ and meeting the needs of this nobleman and how it led to others being saved. Oh, how that's exactly how God works in our life today. Have you to do? Opportunity. Seek after the Lord and then do whatever it is God would have you to do in telling others about who God is. I could have every head bowed at this time, every eye closed this evening. If you're going to be baptized tonight, if you would, make your way to the front and get ready for that. God continues to work in the very same ways today as he did 2,000 years ago. We have all of these truths recorded for us in God's word so that we might learn this and we might be helped by it. Do you have faith to believe? Are you taking advantage of opportunities that God presents to us? Are you rejoicing after knowing how God has worked in our lives? Are we telling others? However God spoke to you tonight, will you apply it? Father, we bow before you this evening. We do love you. Thank you for the truth of your word and for this nobleman. And Lord, the story of having his son healed who was surely going to die. And you recorded it for us to learn. And I trust that as we have explained it and broken it down, that we have this understanding now that you want us to have. And we can learn and apply it to our own lives. I pray we'll do that at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.